Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I often, on a Monday, take a full roast in, and I've got like my bread sauce, I've got like literally a Tupperware full of a full roast.
I'm so jealous. I'm going to do that this week.
Oh my God.
And I'm going to have bread sauce because it's not just for Christmas. Bread sauce is the best roast condiment.
I love it so much. It's the best. Amazing. Absolutely.
That's amazing. I was so describe bread sauce.
Into bread sauce.
Oh my God.
Actually, fully with you there. I was trying to describe bread sauce to somebody who didn't know what it was the other day. And I think they thought that I had sort of like floated down from the planet Venus. I was like, it's odd, mushed up to like make a sauce. And they were like, oh wow, that sounds amazing. Enjoy.
Welcome to episode 177 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. Happy New Year. We've got a treat this episode in the form of Charlie Watson, otherwise known as Runner Beans, who we've had on the pod before, and we wanted to drag on for our first podcast of 2024 because of her running know-how, but also because of her day job as a dietitian, so that we could ask her all our burning food questions, something we know comes up a little bit in January. When we recorded, Hol and I were both massively hungover, so we want to talk about drinking and running to begin with, and then we move on to New Year's resolutions and how to stick to them in a healthy way. Charlie has some stupendous tips here, things that we're going to start doing right away, and none of them are about restricting our diets in any way. In fact, the main one is about adding to our meals rather than taking away, which we love. Super sensible advice. Enjoy. Before that, quickly, do please think about becoming a patron of this podcast at patreon.co.uk/womensrunning, because for just £2 a month, you can access our free monthly videos, our weekly newsletters, and you get to join our exclusive Pod Squad chat room where all the fun happens. And sign up to be a subscriber of the magazine. Don't fast forward through this bit. Honestly, this is such a whopping great deal. Right now, it's just $17.99 for 6 months, which is £3 an issue, half price. And if you sign up, you'll get a copy of our How to Run 5K guide absolutely free. And if you don't need that because you're scampering over mountains, it will make a friend very happy indeed. Go to womensrunning.co.uk/bundle to get the deal.
We're recording.
Oh,
and we have Charlie Watson with us on the podcast today, famous massive runner, mega six-star marathoner, I think.
So 6-star finisher, but 15 times marathoner.
15.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I mean,
yeah.
Epic. And otherwise known as Runner Beans. That's how I always knew you when I first, like, you were like the first famous runner I followed on Instagram.
I feel like famous runner makes, yeah, no, I feel like I'm just like the hopefully relatable, average, very, very average runner. But yeah, well, thank you. And yeah, it's good to be there. I like being known as Runner Beans. I feel like that's what lots of my friends call me.
Oh, that's lovely. No, I find your content super relatable. I think, yeah, it makes me think that maybe I could do a marathon one day, which actually don't even want to say that out loud because that seems like jinxing things. But you posted something the other day that was like the pitfalls of when you'd first done your marathon and what you wished you'd known.
Yeah.
And I was like, saving that for my future times. Like, it is very, very helpful.
I love this. Yeah. Is this are we exclusive? There's, you know, it's the end of 2023, nearly 2024. Have we just
is this breaking news? Yeah.
What are you going to sign up to, Holly?
There is a little part of my heart. I don't think I said this on the podcast yet. Maybe I've just sort of like alluded to it a million times and never done anything about it. But we are doing a half in April that we're really excited about. And part of me is like, should I just keep going? Because normally after I've done a half marathon, I sit on the sofa for a good couple of months. But maybe it's time to push on.
April half. Autumn full.
Autumn. Yeah, autumn full.
I bet Esther would say New York, like the best race ever.
Absolutely. Oh my God. You could go back and do that, couldn't you?
I could. Okay, guys. Okay. I hate this.
Do it. Yes, I love it. This is literally like my favorite thing about speaking to runners. You like psych yourself out into like, you talk yourself in and excite yourself and you're like, okay, we're doing it. Right. We're all doing it. Great. Amazing.
Yeah. It is so exciting to feel like you're doing it with a gang, isn't it? And like that. Yeah, I find that such great motivation because it's like, well, I can't let the gang down now. That's what we're doing with the half in April. It's with a bunch of our lovely listeners. And it's like, well, we can't not show up for each other.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Having that those people, even, you know, if it's remote or in person, but to be accountable towards and just to kind of share the ups and downs of the journey, because there are ups and downs. It's so helpful and just makes you feel less alone when you are out there alone, trudging the streets in the dark. You're like, okay, somebody else is also doing this as well. We've got a similar goal, or someone else is, you know, struggling, or this is what I'm going through. Being able to kind of share your journey really helps when you're feeling like, oh, I'm all on my own doing this.
Definitely. Yeah, sure. Definitely. But well, does this work as quite a nice segue? I don't want to get into it too soon because also I feel like it's been ages since we've had you on the pod, Charlie.
Too long.
Maybe before we launch into nutrition-y stuff, anything what's new with you?
I'm trying to remember when I was last on. I don't think I had my son when I was last on.
You were just about to have him.
Yeah.
Then. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole different, you know, roller coaster of training and emotions, and yeah, it's amazing. I am absolutely love being a mum. It's definitely more of a challenge than I, in different ways than I anticipated. So yeah, it's great. And I'm just kind of getting back into the running groove now. It feels like I'm got a running buggy and often out with him and with the dog, taking him on a like Santa run tomorrow. And I've got him an elf costume, so he'll hate me when he's older, but I think it's worth it.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Unbearably cute. Yeah. How old is he now? Is he a year?
14 months. Yeah.
14 months. Oh my God. Yeah. How cute.
That's and very
gorgeous. Does he enjoy the running buggy?
Loves it and often falls asleep. Yeah. I'm really lucky at the moment that he enjoys it. And sometimes we'll go and kind of feed the ducks, or he just likes to look out. He's so nosy. He just likes to, he like pushes himself forward and like looks around at everyone. And yeah, he loves it. So I'm lucky at this stage. And then I also have a gym with a creche that he sometimes goes into so that I can do a treadmill run. That's how we're getting stuff done at the moment.
So, I mean, amazing, do you feel though. Like you're kind of, yeah, do you feel like you're getting back into the groove of the running?
Slowly, yes. Mm. It's definitely, it just takes so much more organization. You're just not, it's not just thinking about you. And obviously if it's pouring with rain, I'm like, oh, is this really a fair for me to drag him out and the dog? And just, you know, getting, also if you haven't got a good night's sleep or, yeah, it's just a lot more logistical organization. But I appreciate that time either on my own or with him out and about so much more than I think I did. And I appreciate any sort of time that I do get to go for a run or do a race or meet friends for a group run.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
That's lovely. So does that mean that, do you have any goals? Can I ask?
Yeah. I'm very open about them. So I'd really like to be Hugh in 2024. So that's probably realistically going to be around a 3:30. I'm very, very far from that at the moment. So I haven't set an actual race that I am targeting yet, but just trying to build up, do some halves, get the distance back, get it just to be a routine again and just build the consistency and then take it from there. That's the big goal. That is a big goal. But there's no date yet, so it doesn't feel quite so terrifying. I think once I set a right, this is the marathon and I'm gonna go for it, then it'll feel terrifying.
I don't know, and you will know, I don't quite know how it works in terms of like how long before Boston do you need to have got that qualifying time?
So the window is usually sort of, I think around the 10th of September through till like, so it opened this September and will be open until 2024 September. So realistically, right. I'm going to be going for it in an autumn marathon, I reckon. So it'll be for 2026. Yeah, which makes me feel really old, but yeah.
Not as old as we feel at the moment. Me and Holly,
we are feeling quite decrepit.
Quite jaded and old and today.
I tell you what, that makes a pretty good segue. We spoke on a recent podcast about running hungover, which is actually concerning me because was that based on real life experiences as well?
Probably.
It's Christmas time. Yeah. Yeah. It's Christmas time. It's hard to avoid at the moment. But we had our company Christmas party last night. It was brilliant. Office Christmas parties are a bit hit and miss, aren't they? Sometimes they can be, just a kind of beer fear fueled embarrassing affair.
Yeah.
And sometimes they can be joyous. And it was a joyous one last night. But we did have far too many margaritas. We've been sort of having a bit of a stab in the dark just at trying to work out how we feel about running hungover and whether it's better, whether it's worse, whether it's a good idea, whether it's a terrible idea. We did read up on some sort of expert medical advice that was basically being like, if you're not like, you know, if you're being sick or, you know, you've got a pounding headache, don't do anything that's going to make you feel awful.
Yeah.
But that, you know, often the endorphins associated with kind of going out can be good. But what's your experience, Charlie? What do you reckon? Yeah. Should we run right now after like four margaritas last night?
So from experience, I did a 10K once, and you know the medical bit in the back, I just wrote hangover because I was like, all I'll need is fluid. Like if I collapse. My mum was like, text me being like, what, you know, are you okay? What's taking so long? And I was like, yep, just throw up behind a car. I'm going to be fine. Slowest 10K ever. So experience and what's my semi-professional opinion is quite different. I'd say it depends how you feel. Depends what you've committed to. This was a race that I'd signed up and paid for and didn't feel like I could back out.
Yeah.
I think the thing to be mindful of is that obviously being hungover is stress on your body. So you want to then limit the other stresses you're putting on it. So making sure you're hydrating well, making sure you're fueling before your run so that you're not adding extra stress that could be avoided. Mm-hmm. Same with that, doing a warm up, like make sure you're not just going straight out from like sofa to sprint. And then kind of take it easy. Often our heart rate is higher because we're dehydrated, we haven't slept well. So maybe just thinking about using a heart rate based effort rather than looking at your watch or you know, using run walk or doing something that will take the stress down. Personally, I quite like, if I'm not too hungover, going for a run, because I feel like you kind of sweat it out. You kind of feel a bit more, you know, when you're like cooped up inside and you feel a bit stale, at least yeah. you're out in the fresh air. And if nothing else, then you can feel smug about it. The fact that, you know, the other people that you were out with probably haven't been for a run. So yeah, just try and reduce the extra stress that you're going to be putting on your body because you're already in a kind of high stress state.
Yeah.
Yeah, it may not come as much of a surprise to you, Hol. I have actually been for a run this morning.
Oh, my life. Yeah, I am. That has actually come as a bit of a surprise to me because I'm not ratting you out here, but Esther is normally like a massive lightweight. Is that fair to
yes.
say?
I think that's fair to say.
You don't drink very much. You don't drink very much. And so when you do, you feel it. But yeah, but then I'm saying that, you know, you do bounce back from a hangover. Like I was probably more hungover than you when we had those margaritas in New York and you'd run a marathon. And I was the one who woke up the next morning like, ugh. But I think...
But think how many carbs Esther had in her body. She probably like absorbed them, then, like the alcohol better.
Actually, so true.
Very true.
So true.
Very true.
But I am a bit surprised by that just because I felt like we both did cane it a bit more than we are actually properly capable of. We pushed our limits last night with the free bar.
I really did.
So I am quite surprised, but I'm very impressed.
Thank you. And it is for the smug point. So Charlie, you are absolutely right. So I just did it that so that Holly would be impressed with me. But I did, I did eat loads and in the knowledge that was going to happen. When I go out for those kind of Christmas things, I make sure I eat all the chips.
You did have she had the steak with the supplement.
And a massive chocolate mousse and all of that. So I had loads of food. So I felt good. But the reason why I went out this morning is for everything that you've just said. It was just like, I just wanted a bit of fresh air and I just wanted to kind of, and I do feel, and I know it's not scientifically true, but I do feel like it sweats it out.
Yeah, it's not scientifically true, but you do sort of feel like that, don't you? Like you're either going to be sweating it out sort of on your sofa or outside. And I mean, I kind of feel like that you feel a little bit better often. It's not going to be like, you know, margarita oozing through your pores, but certainly
sadly not, no.
They're just you just kind of feel like, oh, I'm sweating this out. In the same way that you do, like I feel like that specifically on like holiday, if you've had a few too many sangrias the night before and then you're outside and you're like sitting by the pool, you're like, well, I'm sweating this out, it's fine.
For sure. Well, okay, so it sounds as though I need to get my ass off the sofa, basically.
I think that's the main thing is definitely also don't feel like, oh, I've had this much drink or I ate this last night, I have to go for a run today. It's about doing it because it's a positive thing rather than it being like I'm balancing it out, cancelling out anything related to the guilt of sort of drinking or eating, it being like I want to move my body, I want to get outside and not be in my pajamas, that kind of thing, rather than a negative thing.
That like short term versus long term. I was talking to a friend about this last night, you know, the kind of short term versus long term, what's going to make your body happy. And it's so easy to do the short term thing where you're like, God, I cannot imagine anything better than sticking a Christmas film on, staying in my pajamas and working from the sofa all day. But it sounds so good. But after an hour or two of doing that, you're like, oh my God, I have never felt more crusty in all of my life. Yeah. So it's the weighing up, isn't it? And some days the crusty wins and that is absolutely fine. But other days it's like, I got to shake this crust.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to describe it.
And it's minimizing also, isn't it? Like we were talking about in the last one, we were minimizing that kind of self-hatred that you get when you're hungover and you just start to despise everything about yourself. That going for the run is just a little element of that day where you're just going, no, actually, you know, I'm not all completely shit. I'm only 95% of me is. So you know, it just helps.
And also,
I think it just helps the mental side.
Yeah.
It's just like you're outside. Out. Yeah. You're getting out of your own head because you're outside and there's other things to think about and look at rather than just sort of the reflection of yourself as the Netflix like rolls over to the next episode, or that it tells you like, do you want to, are you still watching? And you're like, yes, I am. Stop judging me.
It's like, stop shaming me. Yeah. Of course, I'm still watching. God. Yeah. I think exactly that. It's like it's also about remembering, I suppose, that like you are a person. Okay, this is going to sound hugely philosophical. Let's blame the hangover. But you're a person made up of lots of different choices and lots of different experiences. You are not a shit person or a great person. I mean, you are a great person, but you know what I mean. It's like, mm-hmm. It can be so easy to tell yourself that narrative either at 3 o'clock in the morning when you wake up with the wine spins, or the next day if you've had a night of drinking or something, that, or a night of, you know, heavy indulgence in lots and lots of lovely food, or we had both last night.
We did.
And I think it can be so easy to give yourself a narrative that you're like, oh, I'm a terrible person, I'm not looking after my body, like I'm unhealthy, and it's like, it just reminds you that it's like, absolutely not, that's not you, that was a decision that you made and you enjoyed that, and now you're making another one and you're enjoying that too. And yeah, it's not, you are not what you've kind of I know people do say you are what you eat, but I'm not into that. I think,
yeah, but I also don't think like one day of healthy eating doesn't make you in quotes healthy, and one day of quote unhealthy eating doesn't make you unhealthy. Mm-hmm. I think it's the how you're enjoying. You guys went out and had a nice meal together to celebrate the end of the year, to celebrate things. It's not you sitting because you're unhappy eating that and therefore it's making you more unhappy. So I think it's really important that we think about what are the social aspects of the eating and drinking. And that I think plays almost a bigger role than what have you consumed. Certainly I think that there's so much emotion in, you know, like a birthday cake or a celebratory drink together and those sorts of things, that side of it shouldn't be ignored.
Oh, well, that moves so wonderfully into January, doesn't it? Like the whole, like one thing that we really, because this will probably come out in January, I think, this episode. And here we are talking about Christmas and everyone's like, what? That was ages ago.
Shut up.
So sorry. Yeah. but, you know, one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you is about January and eating and food, which is just, you know, obviously it's this, January the 1st comes around and we all can sort of start making sort of various promises to ourselves or to other people about what we're going to do differently potentially that year. And that might be, and a lot of that is wrapped up in kind of health and wellness and whatever. And so obviously that then trickles down into the food that we eat. And I mean, you know us, you know that we're not like going to tell everyone to go on a diet or anything like that, but we do know that people really do want to kind of, you know, January is a really nice time for people to sort of start think. I mean, I quite like it. I love that sort of, oh, let's try something, you know, like Veganuary, or let's do something.
It's a bit of a reset, isn't it? And it gives you permission to feel like you're trying something new. And if it doesn't work, it's fine because it was January. But I think it's good to prioritize
yourself a bit, isn't it? It's like you've spent a lot of Christmas doing things that are all to do with other people, where it's like you're spending time with friends and family, you're traveling around, I think I quite like the quietness and stillness of January because it really allows you to prioritize what you want to do. And again, I think that should be what anybody should think about if they are listening to this going, oh God, I need to lose weight, I need to start dieting straight away, it's January or whatever, is really just thinking about why are you saying that to yourself? Because is it, you know, I think it needs to be about taking time to prioritize what you want to do and looking after yourself in the best way that you can, kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think obviously we're kind of bombarded with these messages on social media and online on our TV, like lose weight, be this, do this, try this diet. And actually it should be about, okay, I want to make some positive changes, or it could be about that. What could those positive changes be, rather than it being like, I need to cut out this. And that's certainly something I try and focus on are like, what are positive additions you can make rather than what are you cutting out? And it being more about adding things to benefit your health and well-being rather than trying to remove things necessarily.
Oh, I love that. I find that lovely, isn't it? Easier as well. Yeah, I do find that easier immediately.
So what kind of things then would you suggest?
If kind of focusing on nutrition and food, so thinking about things like, are you getting enough protein? So could you try and add some protein to your breakfast every day? That's a really good starting point. Most of us, or many of us, don't get enough protein throughout the day, especially in the morning. So for a lot of us that are like morning runners, what could we be adding into our breakfast? Is that going to be like an egg, a Greek yogurt? Is that a protein shake? Is it just about trying to be more mindful rather than, I'm very guilty of it when I'm running late, grabbing a croissant with a coffee? And that's, you know, so thinking about, right, let's try and add more protein into the first meal of the day. Or evening, maybe maybe you need to add it in to the evening and that's when you find it easiest. Simple things like, you know, fruits and vegetables. When was the last time you thought, okay, have I had at least five today? Again, thinking about going from fruit and veg but into fiber. So most of the UK aren't getting enough fiber in their diet. It's really good source of protein, of fiber, to get more whole grains. So thinking about adding diversity. So just little things that you can add in. And actually, by adding those things in, I find it harder to fit in. You don't get so, I've reached a sugar slump, so I'm going to reach for the chocolate, because you're filling yourself up with protein, with fiber. Naturally, when you eat more fiber, you usually drink more water because you need the extra water and you kind of feel thirstier. So it all sort of rolls together to make the whole of your diet a little bit, brackets, healthier. But you're not taking anything away. Nothing's off limits. You're just thinking about, right, when I wake up in the morning, what am I having kind of protein-wise for breakfast? Have I hit my at least five? I would say even, you know, let's go with seven portions of fruit and veg a day. Am I getting plenty of diversity in my fiber each day? So things like that are my favorite ways of like looking at when you're having a kind of reset of looking at what could you add in.
I love that.
How would you, because that's January, right? So like someone could come and speak to you and say, right, okay, I want to kind of shake things up in January. How would you recommend like those sorts of changes become kind of lifelong? Because that's quite a big thing to take on, isn't it?
It is. And I, you know, it's something you just have to be organized. And certainly I don't manage it every day. And as I say, like this week, I ended up grabbing a croissant because I didn't have time for breakfast, didn't have anything in the fridge. It's just about making them habits. So when you're doing your food shop, are you thinking, right, let me make sure I've got plenty of fruits and veg, and is the freezer full of frozen berries or frozen veg that I can throw in if it is getting to the stage where I just need something quick? It's making it easy for yourself. So January is the hard part. You make the changes so that then February is a little bit easier. March is a little bit easier because these are already habits and it's already sort of ingrained, and you figure out they're like, right, Friday mornings is always stressful because I've got to do drop off and get to the office and I've got a meeting. So what can you do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to make Friday easier?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And yeah, just
it's never
kind
my
of
strong suit, guys.
Organization.
Disorganized. No. Oh God, I'm awful. I'm awful, which is why. And I honestly, I know I am on commission for them at the moment, and I need to relax. But that's why I've been doing HelloFresh, because then somebody organizes it all for me, and I love it. And it just arrives in neat little boxes, and I go, "There's Tuesday's paper bag done."
So if you're doing HelloFresh, and I love HelloFresh, what I do is I plan the week. And then what I do is I add extra. So I look at what I've got and I am like, right, well, I can add an extra portion. So I've got in my freezer, I've got spinach, I've got peas, I've got soybeans. What can I just stir in that's like 10 seconds that will add another portion of fiber and vegetables to this meal? Like literally. Ooh. So I do that when I order my HelloFresh and I just add that, because I'm going to the supermarket anyway to get some bits and pieces, you know, like milk and eggs and that sort of stuff. And I just think, right, this is what I've ordered. What would go well with this as an extra veg? Or what could I do that would just be that extra here? So it's like 99% done for you and you're just doing the 1%.
I love that. I love that idea. Good. And I mean, spinach is such a good example, isn't it? Because you can keep it in your freezer and then it literally does take 10 seconds.
Tip with the spinach is I don't buy the frozen spinach. I buy when it's on offer in the reduced section. I grab a bag of the baby spinach. I think that tastes nicer in your meal. So when it's on the reduced, it always goes on the reduced. Those leaves, it freezes so easily. Chuck it in, and then it wilts into nothing, and you can easily add like half a bag. And I think it's nicer than the big ones.
Yeah, ooh, you can add half a bag and then still be like, where is it?
Yeah, it's true. It goes down to that, doesn't it? I have a top tip with spinach. You know how like it can turn into liquid awful down the bottom? Like that, you know, when it starts to kind of just rot down and you just end up with like green juice at the bottom of the bag. And it's so easy to forget that it's in the bottom of your fridge. If you open the bag and put in a sheet of kitchen paper into the bag of lettuce, spinach, that it does stay fresh for a bit longer.
Oh my
God. Good tip.
Does that apply to any bagged salad leaves?
Yes.
Because I have the same thing and I have it with like sort of like sage or mint or like herbs and stuff as well, that Doug will get really angry if I order those on a shop, because he'll be like, do you know what this is going to be in 2 days' time? A bag of slurry and I'm going to be the one putting it in the bin. Yeah.
So tip for those, this is just going to be like a little tip podcast. Mm-hmm. So if you cut it up and put it into a bit of like oil or even water into a, like an ice cube tray, then you can freeze it and then you've got fresh herbs to stir into stews or soups, or when you feel like it's about to turn, just pop it in the freezer, and then you won't have that, oh, I've spent another £3 on a bag of coriander that I've used twice and the rest of it's going in the bin.
Amazing. That's so good. Like a little stock cube, basically.
Love exactly that.
Because I know that that's something that I should do a bit more of with wine, because we quite often have like 2/3 of a bottle of wine that we need to pour down the sink after a couple of weeks, or I make into some gravy and that's kind of all right. But you can freeze that into ice cubes and put that, and then you just pop it into your coq au vin or whatever. Yeah.
Amazing. Or like your bolognese. Such a
your
good
bolognese
idea.
Bolognese. It's really good with your
life changing, because it makes me really sad that I'm like, oh, I don't know if you've ever bought those like stock pots that are like red wine flavor, but it's like they never really are. They don't really add what adding in like half a bottle of wine to your bolognese is going to add. But then it does mean that you're like, oh, it's a Tuesday and I promised myself that I wouldn't drink till Friday, but I gotta get a bottle of wine for my bolognese, and then before you know it, here I am having a glass of my wine making my bolognese. Love that idea so much.
Yeah
that's a great tip.
Freezer into ice cubes. It's great.
This is already so many things that I need to write down or listen back to this podcast.
And actually you could put that into a sangria as frozen wine to keep your sangria cold, then it won't dilute it.
Oh my god, you've got your weekday ice cubes of wine and you've got your weekend ice cubes of wine. Love it.
Yeah.
Although I'm finding it quite tricky to talk about all of this wine, I must admit, right now.
It's
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah,
we can move swift. We can move swiftly on.
Yeah. Let's go back to food. Food was a bit easier.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the other thing I think that we're going to get quite a lot from, you know, I get questions quite a lot through the magazine and stuff, is people asking about supplements. Like, as if as if there's going to be like some kind of magic pill that they can take that will either help with, you know, like a magic running pill. What should I do that suddenly makes it easier? But also in terms of kind of weight management or like being massively healthy, if I just take an iron tablet, will that do the trick? Is there anything that you would suggest? In
vitamin D. Everybody should be taking vitamin D supplements. Yeah, the NHS guidance is that we all take it in the winter because it's so miserable in the UK. And most of us are wrapped up even when we are outside and it is slightly sunny, where it's freezing. So yeah, vitamin D we should all be taking. A lot of the other supplements, you have to, I think you have to be a bit careful of like who's telling you to take it, who's telling you to buy it, and why are you taking it? What, like, if you are taking an iron supplement, is that because you've had a test and it says that you're iron deficient, or is that just because you think you should? So I would always say go and either speak to your doctor if you feel like you are lacking in anything. Look at your diet and the variety. Is there an area that you're struggling with? So are you vegetarian or vegan? Should you be looking at taking like an omega-3 supplement if you aren't getting much fish in your diet? Should you be looking at an iron supplement if you're not getting any natural iron sources? Thinking about that is very individual. It's not something that you can just be like, right, blanket, you should all be taking this and this will make you a great runner. Similarly with like supplements, so like protein supplements, they can, I have them in my cupboard because I find it actually quite an easy go-to for the mornings where I'm struggling with getting enough protein or having enough time to sit down and make like a porridge for breakfast. But just thinking about what are the ingredients. So the one I like is the Organic Protein Company. They have an unflavored whey, which is basically just whey. It's basically like a milk powder that you just add into, I'd put it into a smoothie or a coffee, and it's really easy way of getting more protein, but not having any additives, any sugar, any kind of sweeteners. So yeah, I would look at what your diet might be lacking. Speak to a GP. There are, I don't know if you've ever used MediCheck, so you can get like a blood test, which will look at your blood analysis. Be really careful if you are doing like an online test of what you might be deficient in, because lots of places aren't kind of regulated, so just making sure you're going to somewhere reputable and it's not one of these people that puts like two pieces of fruit in your hand and says, oh, you're allergic to this because this arm looked weaker, or there's lots of quacks.
Oh my god,
out there,
really? So,
wow.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think the main thing is trying to make your diet as varied as possible. That will really help. And looking at areas. So are you getting two portions of oily fish per week or equivalent? If you're not, maybe it is worth taking an omega-3 supplement. But just if you are wanting to take the supplements, making sure you're getting them from somewhere reputable, making sure they're tested because they can be full of filler, and that they've got the amount that you need, rather than, I was listening to a podcast the other day and they were saying that actually you'd need 14 of these gummies a day to get the recommended daily intake of the, it was a collagen one, but so yeah just making sure that the amount that's realistic to take, the amount that's realistic to take is what you're going to manage. So like food is the best and easiest way, I think, of getting it in.
That's really useful to know. Can I also ask a very silly question, guys? What is oily fish? Like, what counts as oily fish?
So,
I always wonder that.
Tuna, mackerel, salmon, sardines.
Okay.
Anything that, I don't like, not like a cod or a, mostly the white fish are not oily. Okay. They're great for you because they're lean sources of protein. But yeah, the oily fish are the kind of, the ones that are a bit more, I don't want to say greasy, but like they feel a bit more luxurious almost.
Yeah, I do know exactly what you mean. It's like yeah, that, I mean, slimy does again make it sound gross. Yeah, it? It's, oh, like, in a nice, like, way. Yeah, but,
yeah. Often you get them and they are in oil, because that's, like, you know, so the sardines, the tuna, you can get in oil, so that's a good indication that they are an oily fish.
Okay, that's good to know, because I have been vegetarian for the last 8 years, 9 years maybe of my life, but I have started incorporating fish again just because I was finding it quite difficult to, I don't know, I was generally finding it quite difficult to manage my diet. When I cook at home, I cook vegetarian because my partner is, but you know, if I'm out and about, or if I'm having a treat, or if he's not in, then I will have a sneaky salmon and I love it.
What did, well, you eat last?
I mean, good for your health.
Yeah, it is good for your health. I wanted to know, what did you eat last night? What was your Christmas dinner haul?
Oh, do you want to hear it, guys? Okay, should we rate this Christmas dinner? I mean, this doesn't, that's not very fun. Obviously, it was a very indulgent celebration meal, but get ready to hear this, because it was the most, like, cloggy thing ever. My starter was chestnut and celeriac soup. That bit wasn't cloggy. That was actually amazing.
That sounds yum.
Yeah, that was really good. It was absolutely delicious, and it did feel nice and healthy while I was eating it. It felt hearty. Then I had a cheese souffle. Everything went downhill after that. It was just a big pile of cheese melted on a plate, and it was incredible. And I did have some, like, cavolanero or some. It was so good. There were some greens in there. And then I had the lemon cheesecake for pud, which was also incredible. Yeah.
Ooh,
what did you have?
Really nice. Wow. Glad you asked. I had smoked salmon with some sort of beetrooty stuff on the side. Beetroot's good for runners, isn't
sounds it? Sounds great. Yeah, that all sounds really good, actually.
But then I had a massive steak, pile of chips, and a tiny bit of greens. Because I must admit, veg is a big thing for me. So I normally have absolutely shed loads of veg, and then everything else is dotted around it. And the portions of veg last night were actually quite small, and I felt embarrassed about taking so much because other people needed to have some. And the other choice of vegetables were parsnips. Ugh.
So, I know. I had all the tender.
I love parsnips.
I didn't care.
Do you?
Yeah. I do that, like, when we have a roast, I'll do the whole bag and I'll just nibble on them. I love parsnips so much.
Oh, Charlie, I need to get into parsnips like that. I find them roast potato imposters.
They are roast potato imposters. Yeah.
But honey roast parsnip is, like, one of the best things in the world.
That is true.
The way that it disguises, like, it puts on a pair of dark glasses and a little jacket and stuff and goes, I'm a roast potato. You're like, no, you're not. But you only discover that when it's in your mouth and you can taste the soap. You're like, oh god.
See, I cut mine long and thin, so they get really crispy, and they don't look at all like a potato. Maybe the problem is that you're expecting a potato.
Yeah.
So there's, of course, and then it's a disappointment.
Parsnip.
Yeah.
Whereas if you were expecting the parsnip, you'd be like, oh, delicious, a parsnip.
Yeah, maybe that I do think that the honey glaze thing is also
honey and thyme with the roast carrots, absolutely delish.
Oh yeah,
right. Hang on a minute. Yeah. So I let me test a belief system here. Where do you stand on brassicas? Do you like them or dislike them?
Because I like them. Oh right, okay.
Yeah. Well, my theory is you're one or the other. That you either like the sweet root veg, that's like your go-to choice, or you're a brassica family lover. And I would willingly kind of cross busy traffic in order to get myself to a sprout or a cauliflower if it was roasted. I love them.
I do love a roasted Brussels sprout.
Oh yes,
so much,
so good.
So good.
But I do think I'd go with the parsnip over the sprout.
Would you? I would choose sprout every day, though my big joys, genuinely, I'm not just sucking up to you guys on the podcast here, but I love, like, dark leafy greens, like cavolanero stuff, like
I love that.
Like a really dark cabbage.
Savoy cabbage.
So more, like, you guys like more of the bitter. So that's interesting. Yeah. Like the bitter side rather than... Interesting.
I think so. I quite like that. And if I was like cooking my veg, I'm also a bit like you, Charlie. I'd be an exception to Esther's rule as well, because I do love a sweet root veg covered in honey or something. But if I were preparing veg, I do reach for things like garlic or chili, or if I'm sort of...
Have you tried Marmite roast potatoes?
Oh my
God.
That hit that spot of kind of like salty and bitter, slightly bitter. And they're like,
I'm going to really need to order some food after this episode. my scrambled eggs on toast is not going to cut it today.
Oh dear. But you know what? We do really need to remember that this is January and not Christmas, and I feel so sorry for people listening who are just listening to us go on about our lovely Christmas food. It's my fault, but we're talking about Christmas.
It's like, roast. I'm sorry, it's roast guys. Season all winter
it
long.
It absolutely is. And roasts are really good ways of having loads of veg and being really organised. So on a Sunday, I often do like a roast chicken and then loads of veg. Like every tray in my house is filled with veg, because then it sets you up for salads and stews and pastas and all things throughout the week that you can really easily cobble together, that it just takes one step out of the organization / prep. And there's something quite relaxing about a Sunday night sort of meal prep session, music on, getting everything ready for your week. I find it quite cathartic, and gets rid of the Sunday blues.
I think that might be my add-in. Yeah, I think that's going to be, there's plenty that I'm taking away from this episode, but I think that's going to be my key add-in for January, is I love cooking and I've never been a meal prep gal because I'm not very organized, but I think I would really enjoy to add in a couple of hours on a Sunday evening to get myself sorted for the week. By roasting a bunch of veg, because salads always trip me up, because I want to have them, but I'm like, the prep to do a salad that actually feels hearty in the week. It's like, I'm not going to spend 45 minutes roasting beetroot, but if you've already got it in the fridge.
Just thinking about like cost of living, obviously then putting on your oven it's easier for it to be hot, throw loads of stuff in, so that then on a Monday night when you've got home from work, you're not having to put your oven on, peel your beetroot, put it in the oven for this amount of time, do all the washing up afterwards. You've kind of got it ready to go. And whether that goes into like a pasta with goat's cheese or a quiche, or, you know, whatever you kind of want it. Quiche sounds a bit fancy for a Monday night, but to be making it. But it just takes that one step out of it, I think, is the helpful bit.
I think it's brilliant, because I must admit, like after I do a roast dinner, I do tend to have bits of veg left over. It's usually like a tiny little bit, and I might just have it on my salad the following day and just be grateful for having sort of that roasted veg thing. But to have to purposefully make shed loads and to then be able to use that throughout the week for lunches and things is just such a great idea.
Yeah, it's cool.
I mean, I often on a Monday take a full roast in. And I've got like my bread sauce. I've got like literally a Tupperware full of a full roast. And it's amazing when Monday, you're like, oh God, Monday it's raining. I've got a roast lunch again. And it's incredible.
I'm so jealous. I'm going to do that this week.
Oh my God.
And I'm going to have bread sauce, because it's not just for Christmas. Bread sauce is the best roast condiment.
I love it so much. It's the best. Amazing. Absolutely.
It's amazing. I was going to describe bread sauce.
Into bread sauce.
Oh my God.
Actually, fully with you there. I was trying to describe bread sauce to somebody who didn't know what it was the other day. And I think they thought that I had sort of like floated down from the planet Venus. I was like, it's odd, mushed up to like make a sauce. And they were like, oh, wow, that sounds amazing. Enjoy.
So is there anything else that we can tell people? Like, because that is like an A-star top tip in terms of like cost of living, in terms of health, in terms of ensuring that you've got colourful, interesting meals, all of that. Mm. Is there anything else that we can do like in January to kind of, like if we have set ourselves a goal of kind of just being a bit more healthy and stuff like that, like what can we do to just make ourselves just a bit more healthy?
Very unglamorous, but drink more water. Like I am guilty of it as well. Like you go for another coffee, another tea. Tea obviously is mostly water. Depending on your coffee of choice, it is a lot of water. But just trying to think about your fluid intake will help just sort of regulate everything. We don't need to do a detox diet. You don't need to do a juice fast. Your body, your liver detoxes our body. Just help it along by giving it some more fluid. That would be my sort of top tip. And then also just go to sleep. It's not really a tip.
I like that.
It's not really a tip, but I think, you know, we often make choices with our food based on how tired we are. So we choose caffeine, we choose quick carbohydrates, we choose sugar, we choose chocolate because we're tired and we need that quick boost. So looking at it, not just in terms of your diet, but are you sleeping enough? What's your stress like? What is going on in your life? Are you exercising? And are you exercising in the right way in terms of, and I'm not an expert, but are you constantly doing high stress exercise that's going to be adding stress and actually maybe depleting your body? Or are you actually taking your easy runs easy? Are you doing some stretching? Are you doing some kind of low impact exercise that's going to be good for your mental health as well as your physical health? And looking at it as a kind of this big circle or cycle that works together. Mm. So, you know, you exercise better if you've slept well, you make better food choices if you've slept well, you make better food choices if you have exercised often. And then you exercise better once you've made the better food choices because you're well-fueled and not going to have a kind of sugar crash, or you're not relying on the caffeine to get you through your exercise class. So thinking about it as this big holistic approach and just making small changes where you can, rather than feeling like, right, I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. and I'm going to eat only eggs and spinach for breakfast and I'm going to exercise twice a day. That's not realistic to make, but that change. But could you go to bed half an hour earlier, swap one cup of coffee for a glass of water, think about the protein in one meal a day, and just those small changes really do add up.
That's so great advice. True.
Yeah,
it's so true. Because that is one of my wise, New Year's resolutions.
Charlie. It's so wise.
One of now, my if you could just make me do it.
yeah,
like, that's the problem, isn't it?
Say, not as I actually do.
But that's so, also super reassuring to hear, because it does remind you that it's like there's no perfection that exists. Yeah. Like we're just trying our best to do it more and more and look after our bodies as best we can. And yeah, if you do reach for the chocolate because you're knackered, because you stayed up a bit too late watching that Netflix thing you were really into last night, then like that's also, don't beat yourself up about it.
Exactly. Or try and have a yogurt with your chocolate, like a Greek yogurt. So you've got the protein, you've got the carbs, and then the chocolate. I find that I then eat less chocolate because I've had the yogurt and I'm still letting myself have chocolate. So I'm not depriving myself. I'm not saying no, because I feel like that's when we often overeat. But then you're giving your body actual fuel rather than just sugar. So yeah it's and not ever feeling like you've failed. If you do have a night where you go out and have four margaritas and then you don't sleep very well, just, you can start again. Every meal is a chance for you to be like, right, this meal I'm really going to focus on the fiber, or this meal I'm really going to focus on the color and the fruit and veg aspect. Every day is a new day. Like, it doesn't have to be that you've quote failed and it's over.
Oh God, that's good to know, because like
definitely
that life is like that, isn't it? And we can't always be eating the same things every day and kind of, I don't know, also telling ourselves off. But I love the fact that you've touched on the two things that I really want to add into my kind of habit stacking resolutions in January, which was to drink more water, because I drink no water at all. I'm basically a raisin. And to do, what was your thing? Go to bed a bit earlier. It's a nightmare, actually. Do you know, I've realized that the one thing that I do, that I can do, that does make me go to bed earlier is when I go and watch TV, which I always do after I've put the kids to bed, I've got like maybe 45 minutes watching TV. The best thing I can do is to leave my phone on the stairs, because if I take my phone in with me to watch TV, then I scroll and watch at the same time.
Yeah.
And then turn the TV off at 10 and I will sat on that sofa for a further hour at least, just scrolling.
Scrolling.
Just being
scrolling
an idiot.
And trolling.
If I leave it on the stairs, I get up and I've gone to the stairs. It's like, well, I might as well just go upstairs, brush my teeth.
Halfway to bed. Yeah.
Yeah. Might as well. Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
Yeah. That. Thanks.
It's been full of top tips today.
It has been full of top tips.
I can't wait for everyone to just have a little chomp on this podcast episode, because it really is bursting full of top tips and facts and things that I'm going to take with me through the year.
Me too. It's been absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, me
Thank
too.
You. Thank you so much, Charlie. It's been absolutely wonderful speaking to you. We have learnt so much. We're going to freeze everything.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to go freeze some wine
of spinach now. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Doug's going to be a bit disappointed when it's a Friday, when he gets home and finds that tonight's wine is actually in ice cube form in the fridge.
Oh, we could
just sitting there sucking them. Like,
yeah.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra PodSquad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The producer and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. And do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.